An older monk and a younger monk were traveling together, and they came to a river with a strong current. And as they prepared to cross the river, they saw a beautiful young woman dressed in all of her finery, and she was also trying to cross the river. And she asked them if they would help her get to the other side. But the monks exchanged a glance because they had taken vows that they would never touch a woman. Then, without a word, the older monk picked up the woman, carried her across the river, gently set her down on the other side, and continued on. The younger monk followed along behind, but he was astonished at what had just happened. And when he caught up with the older monk, he was so irate that he actually was speechless. They walked on together for an hour, not a word passed between them. Then 2 hours, then 3 hours. Finally, the young monk could not stand it any longer, and he blurted out, "As monks, we are not permitted to touch a woman. How could you carry that woman across the river?" And the older monk looked at him and he said, "Brother, I set her down 3 hours ago. Why are you still carrying her?" We can ask ourselves what we're still carrying, can't we? It's a beautiful story about our tendency quite often to hold on to hurts or frustrations or anger, to carry our baggage around with us, being weighed down by that. You see, the older monk made a conscious decision that he would go against his vows in order to carry the woman across the river. And when he put her down, he laid down along with her any possible guilt or self-doubt about it. The younger monk, on the other hand, internalized all of his anger and frustration for hours, carried that upset so that it became his entire experience. And we can just imagine them walking along together after that. And here's the older monk, you know, just taking in the beautiful scenery and feeling so surrounded by the presence of God and perhaps feeling wonderful gratitude in the moment. And the younger monk is walking along, stewing, just seething, oblivious to the beauty all around him, completely cut off from God, from the other monk, and even from himself. You see, until he was told about it, the younger monk did not realize that he could make a different choice, that he actually could choose to let go of what had happened rather than holding on to it. He could release the past and live in the present. And so can we. Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us that there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven, which means, presumably, that there is a time to hold on and there is a time to let go. Unfortunately, many of us seem to be far better at holding on than letting go. In fact, holding on may be a bit of an understatement. Sometimes we're clinging, we're white-knuckling it. Right? This will not change. I will not let this change, or this is how it's supposed to be, and I'm going to hang on until it becomes that. We cling on, we hold on to past pain, to negative beliefs, to unhealthy relationships, to patterns and behaviors that no longer serve us. We hold on because it is so frightening to let go. Because letting go is moving into the unknown, and a lot of times we would rather have the familiarity of the current misery than the unknown of other possibilities. Right? So we get into this habit of holding on, when really we are meant, like the older monk, to let go. We're meant to let go because life was never meant to stand still, nor are we. You see, life is a river. It's constantly moving. And we must learn to flow along with it. And that means to accept what is, what has happened, take the good with the bad, and move on. In order to muster that courage to let go, it helps if we come to the realization that the source of our faith and hope and happiness and love and joy is right here within us. It's not in something out here. It's not in a certain set of conditions, a certain situation. The sooner we can center ourselves not in external circumstances, but in our own inner wholeness, the sooner we will find peace. And the sooner we will find freedom. And freedom is what it's all about. When I was a senior in high school, my father invited me to come and have lunch with him at his office one day. And I was very excited because I had never been to his office and I wanted to see it and I wanted to meet his colleagues. Well, the night before I was to have lunch with him, my parents and I went out to dinner. And as we were driving to the restaurant, my father, this is so vivid, my father looked in the rearview mirror to ask me a question as I was sitting in the back seat. And he said, "What are you going to wear tomorrow?" To have lunch with him. And I said, "I thought I would wear this new gray sweater and pants that I just bought." And my dad said, "Couldn't you wear something else? You look like an elephant in that." I know, right? Now, when I was a senior, I put on a few pounds. Maybe 15 or so, but I certainly was not elephant-like, I assure you. I was not elephant-like, and that certainly wasn't the right thing to say to a very sensitive and somewhat self-conscious 17-year-old. And so tears sprung to my eyes, and kind of like the young monk, I was so shocked at what had happened, I was speechless. But Dad just kept on talking. I can't even remember what all he said, but it was all along those lines, my appearance and so forth. And my mom at one point said, "Paul, stop it. You're hurting her." And my dad basically said, "What? I'm just telling her the truth. It makes her look fat." You know, that episode stayed with me far longer than it ever should have. The messages just kept kind of reverberating in my subconscious. The messages, "I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm an embarrassment." None of that was true. But you know, my father's words had power. And I gave them even more power by endlessly repeating them in my own head, basically creating my own misery. I like to think that if I had known then what I know now, if I had known then, for example, that my father was an imperfect human being, prone to saying and doing thoughtless things, if I had known then what I know now, that no matter what is going on out here, no matter what is happening in my life or my personal appearance or anything else, that no matter what, I am whole and I am worthy, and I am a beloved expression of God. Yes. I like to think that if I had known that, I would have had the clarity to just let it all go. Or perhaps I would have had the clarity to say, "Thanks for sharing, Dad. I'm going to wear what I want to." But you know, realistically, I don't think any 17-year-old would ever say that to their dad. Maybe so, but not me. But I like to think that I would have had that sense of being centered in myself so that I could release the incident and my dad's insensitivity along with it. Like the older monk, I could have left it at the river. Well, growing into adulthood and in my later years, I've learned about a spiritual practice that I believe can be very helpful in guiding us in the process of letting go. You know, a lot of times we're not our most enlightened self in the moment. We don't necessarily, you know, you walk away and think, "Oh, I should have said this, I should have said that." But there's a tool that we can use to help us get centered and to make a wise choice in the moment. And that spiritual practice I call bless and release. Bless and release. It is a practice for freeing ourselves of our past pain, of our harmful relationships, of our destructive habits, and even of difficult people. It basically consists of this: acknowledging what is happening, acknowledging the situation before you, and then you bless it, and then you release it. You see, the bless and release process is really like saying, okay, this is happening, and I think I've pretty much learned all I'm going to learn from this. I'm done with it, and I'm going to now turn it over to God. I release it. You see, you're not releasing it or the person or the situation into the abyss. You're releasing it into the divine. You're acknowledging that everyone has their spiritual journey. That's not your business. And you have your spiritual journey. And so you're letting go of the baggage in order that you may proceed more fully on your path. So this is a simple practice that we can use every day, and there are countless ways to use it in your everyday life. You don't believe me? Turn on the TV and try bless, release, bless, release, bless, release. That's the graduate course. But you can also practice it in your own day-to-day interactions. You know, if somebody cuts you off in traffic, somebody says something rude to you, bless and release. I now see this happening, and you're choosing in that moment to not let it stick to you. I am not going to take that on. I'm going to bless it and let it go. It can be very freeing, it can be very empowering. And as we practice on the small things, we build up our capability to take on the bigger things. We know that letting go of a relationship or letting go of an old way of being or a habit or a pattern can be particularly difficult. And we learn that as we are working through the bless and release process, that actually there is a blessing for us in this. There's a blessing for us in whatever is going on. You see, when we're practicing bless and release, we're in a kind of a higher state of consciousness. We're becoming the observer. We're noticing what is going on here, and we're making mindful choices about it. And we're realizing that everything is our teacher. And so what is the lesson? We can look for the blessing for us, and honestly, once we have found the blessing, it is much easier to let go. So you may remember the story of Job in Genesis chapter 32. So to refresh your memory, Job conspired with his mother, Rebekah, to basically swindle his brother Esau out of his birthright and his father's blessing. Well, you know, Esau wasn't very happy about that. He was very angry, and so Jacob got out of town. He went and lived in another city for a good long while, had many wives, many, many children, many sheep, cattle. He had a pretty successful life there. But he continued to carry around with him a certain sense of shame and guilt over how he had treated his brother. And then one day, about 20 years after he had established himself in this other place, he got a nudge from spirit that it was time to go home. It was time to make amends with his brother. And so he set off on the journey home, and one evening when he was by himself, something momentous happened. Something unexpected. A being in the form of a man leaped out at him and began wrestling with him. This being was like a spiritual power, sort of. It was a seeming adversary, and it just seized Jacob, and he kept wrestling with him all night long. And then as the day began to dawn, the adversary was ready to leave. We're not going to do this anymore. This struggle is over. But now it was Jacob who held on. He held on to what he had been battling. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. He had been wrestling all night long. We can imagine that was a rather arduous situation. And he was not going to let it end without him learning what he was supposed to learn from it. What is the meaning of this? What am I supposed to glean from this? What is the breakthrough that is supposed to happen for me? I want to know, and I will not let this struggle end until I get it. Now, some people say that his adversary was God showing up as a human. Some people say it was a messenger from God, an angel, if you will. Regardless, the important thing is that the adversary was not there to destroy Jacob. It was there to test him, change him, and help him transform. So after Jacob asked for the blessing, the adversary said, I will give you a new name. From now on, you will not be Jacob, you will be Israel. And the word Israel means someone who wrestles with God. And indeed, Jacob had been wrestling with God. He had been wrestling. We know God is within. He'd been wrestling with all that was going on for him, and that he had gone through an amazing change through this process. So let's consider, you know, somebody jumps out at you in the middle of the night. You're going to defend yourself, right? So he went into this struggle, combative. This was his enemy. He was trying to win. But as the time wore on, something started to give way in Jacob. Something started to shift. And he suddenly realized that there was a gift for him in this situation. That this adversary was actually bringing him a gift. And so that's when he asked for the blessing. And as soon as he did that, he let go of his ego and he opened himself to divine illumination. You see, the battle was over. The battle was over, the struggle and the separation ended, and what resulted instead was integration and wholeness. You see, Jacob wasn't really wrestling with anything outside of himself at all. He was wrestling with his own inner demons, his own guilt, his shame, his pain. He was wrestling it out, having his moment of truth. And he was going to stick with that until he knew he was done with it. He came to his, what we call the final no. I am done with that. And I am leaving it behind. See, we can relate to that in our own lives. Sometimes we're being haunted by something and we don't want to go there, we don't want to go there, we don't want to go there. And finally we get to a point where I must go there. I must see what this is, get the blessing so I can let it go. And that is exactly what Jacob did. And as a result, he emerged from it a different man. And it was from that new birth of humility and compassion in him that he was able to have a joyous reconciliation with his brother Esau. You see, there was a blessing release happening through that whole story. It was when he received a blessing in this case that Jacob was able to let go and let God, to let God come forth in him. I encourage you to practice and put to use, however it fits in your life, this idea of bless and release on the little things or the big things. And know that this is your way to set yourself free. You see, we weren't meant to go through life burdened and carrying our past pain for the rest of our lives. We weren't meant to be victims of what's happened in the past. We're meant to stand tall and free and filled with light. You see, we're not beggars out there looking for our good. The kingdom of God is within us. You are the light of the world. The seeds of greatness are in you. Don't keep covering them over. Get out of the way. Remove the obstruction and let them grow and blossom through and as you. This is why you're here. This is the hope and the promise of being alive here on planet Earth. So let go of your baggage, just like the people in the hot air balloon. Throw your baggage over the side, and you will soar. Let's turn now to our meditation. invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Let's take a deep breath in. Release and let it go. And one more time, a deep breath in. And just let go and let go and let go. Feel yourself releasing into the presence of Spirit and this great love that is enfolding you. Let go of any worries or concerns and tune in to that brilliant, beautiful light at the core of your being. This light that can never be extinguished. This light that is the truth of who you are. Imagine yourself clearing away anything that might be blocking that light, allowing it to grow in you and shine through every cell of your being. Breathe into the spaciousness of God in you and attune to your own still small voice in the silence. Feel gratitude wash over us as we give thanks for all of it. We give thanks for the challenges, for the upsets, for the struggles, our stepping stones to higher awareness. We give thanks for our journey and for being guided every step of the way. Thank you, sweet spirit, and so it is.